This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Somehow made it to a Friday. It's a big Friday at that. It's a meat Friday. But guess whose birthday it is today? Seton O'Connor!
Oh, happy birthday,
little fella.
Actually, it's Sunday, but we have to celebrate it today because we can't really celebrate it with the audience on Sunday.
It's actually my birthday weekend, so I started it today. It'll end Sunday night.
It's a birthday month.
My birthday week, birthday month.
Yeah, my wife did that.
That drives me nuts.
I know. It'd be like 2 weeks after her birthday, and I go, what are you doing? Oh, we're going to have a birthday dinner in this city, and I go, how long does this go? And she goes, I don't know, maybe a month.
My birthday month.
Yeah. So Seton's birthday sale is available. Go to danpatrick.com. You get one shirt. You get the other one 50% off. New shirts. You got mom shirts. You got Chet's shirt on there. You got the Enfuego shirt on there. And, of course, it is a Meat Friday. And in case you're wondering what's on the menu, what's on the Traeger today, steak tacos. Chicken tacos, chips, and guac. Who has it better than we do?
Nobody.
Come on in. Stay a while. Phone calls, emails.
Got any beers?
We do have some beers.
Might be Beers Friday.
I do have some Coors. I have some Molson. I have some Blue Moon, if you'd like that. But that's after the show. That's post-show.
Post.
Yes. Say good morning to those watching on Peacock. You can download the app. You can watch for free. Say good morning to our radio affiliates, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and we are approaching nearly 400 radio stations around America. Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback, on what Kyler Murray's contract means for Lamar Jackson. And a few other items to talk to him about, including the market for, if there is a market for, Jimmy Garoppolo. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, at dpshow. Play of the day, stat of the day, poll question, all of that forthcoming. Yesterday, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals finally came to an agreement on a contract extension. It's going to keep him in Arizona for 5 more years, pay him around $230 million. He's one of the more exciting players, so hard to say that the contract isn't worth it for the Cardinals and Kyler. But when you look around the league, you have to wonder, if I'm the Baltimore Ravens yesterday, I go, or I react, how? Do I go, all right, that's probably, we got to pay a little bit more than that. You don't want to get into Deshaun Watson guaranteed money territory, but you'd like to be somewhere in between Kyler Murray and Deshaun Watson. But when you start to think about it, what Kyler Murray's accomplished or hasn't, and Lamar Jackson has, you know, former Heisman winner, led the league in passing touchdowns a couple of years ago, led the Ravens to 3 playoff appearances, won the MVP in 2019. Kyler Murray hadn't come close to that and really hasn't been a great second half of the season quarterback, didn't have a good playoff performance. Now, you can say that about Lamar Jackson, hasn't been a great playoff performer. Baltimore may want to start clearing some cap space, because if Kyler Murray's extension is any indication, keeping Lamar Jackson in town is not going to be cheap. I reached out to DraftKings because I was curious. Kyler Murray now signed. What are his MVP odds? Right now, tied for 11th best odds with Jalen Hurts. Let that sink in. Over under, according to DraftKings. Passing touchdowns, Kyler Murray. You guys want to take a guess? Over under touchdowns this season, Kyler Murray. Marv, I'll start with you.
26.
26. Paulie.
Hopkins is out. I'm going to go 23 and a half.
All right. Fritzy.
I'm going to go 28.
All right. Seton.
21.
25 and a half. 25 and a half is the over under. Who's going over?
Nobody.
Over under rushing yards, Kyler Murray Jr. the third. Paulie?
525.
Whoa! Bloop, ding, 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 ding. Well done. Okay. Lamar Jackson, over under passing touchdowns. Todd, I'll start with you.
20.
20 for Lamar Jackson. Okay. Seton?
20 and a half.
I got a question. Did people say wow because Fritzy guessed too low or too high?
Oh, I can't tell you that. That was my honest reaction, Paulie. I just went, oh, wow.
All right.
Okay. Marv?
I'm going to go 24.
24, Paulie.
23 and a half.
Marv, 24 and a half.
Let's go.
Okay, here you go. Over under rushing yards, according to DraftKings, Lamar Jackson. Todd, I'm going to start with you.
720.
720, Seton.
I'm going to say 650.
Marv?
840.
Whoa.
Paulie?
865.
900 yards.
Wow.
That's a many yards.
That's a whole lot.
That's many yards.
And, there you go. Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. I'm going to guess Lamar is going to get just a little more of the bag than Kyler Murray. Poll question today, Seton O'Connor, on almost your birthday.
Almost my birthday, yeah.
Almost.
Dan, you'd rather be the fastest man in the world or a Hall of Fame player in the team sport of your choice? You could guess who sent that one in.
Do I want to be the I want to be the fastest man in the world.
Instead of a Hall of Famer? You could be a Hall of Fame basketball player or the fastest man in the world?
Yeah, but I'm already close to that. But as far as the
Hall of Fame basketball player or fastest?
Fastest, yeah. How long am I the fastest man? Because that's the key. If I'm only fastest man for one day, one race, then no. I'll be a Hall of Famer. But let's say I have a decade. I have a decade of being the fastest man. So I have a Usain Bolt time frame here. Or I could be a pro basketball Hall of Famer. I'm going to be the fastest man in the world for 10 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. But look, there are a lot of guys who played basketball. There's only one guy who's the fastest man in the world.
Well, there are probably many people who were the fastest man in the world.
No, he is still the fastest man in the world. There's a one-person club. That's it. He still has the records.
Does it matter which race you're the fastest in?
Well, I want to be, if I'm the fastest man in the world, you're the fastest in 100 meters. But he's also the fastest in 200 meters. Now, the American record was broken last night in Oregon. And I think what's interesting to know about that is, did you see what I did there, Todd? What's interesting to know about that?
Oh, Noah, because okay. Noah Lyles.
Noah Lyles is
his name in the sentence.
Yeah, I did.
Well done.
Now, he ran a, he beat Michael Johnson's all-time record, American record. This was 19.31. Well, guess who ran a 19.19? Usain Bolt. Like, that's where you go, man, you just beat Michael Johnson by a tenth of a second. What's the world record? Yeah, 19.9. What? Yeah, 19.9 by Usain Bolt. I mean, that's crazy. At that distance, that there's that big of a separation in what the American record is and the world record is. And in case you're wondering, and I know you are, Usain Bolt's children named Saint, Olympia, and Thunder.
Thunderbolt.
Now, why don't you have Lightning? Or just call him Light. But, well, you have to have another kid. But you have Saint Leo, Thunder, and Olympia. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini. Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. And by the way, if you're a card collector, the Donruss Optic cards come out today. Hopefully I get my shipment in at some point today. That would be nice, since I'm an official spokesperson for them. All right, Seton, poll question today. What else do you have besides that? I already gave you my answer. And by the way, this program brought to you by Discover. You can redeem your rewards for cash at any time in any amount. That's amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. All right, what else?
But this one's a little leftover from yesterday.
Okay.
But the NFL should have a team in Europe, have a league in Europe again.
The NFL should have a league, not a team. I think that they might be inching closer to doing something like that. Because I'm wondering what the end game is in Europe. Is it, you know, they're going to play a game in Germany. That game is sold out. Who are the Buccaneers playing in Germany? Do we know?
Seattle?
Okay. And then we've had games in London. I think they've toyed with the idea of a team in London. I think initially refurbishing or building a new stadium was probably going to be the first steps in bringing an NFL team there. It doesn't feel like that's going to happen. But I'm wondering if you did sort of that USFL, but you did Europe, what we had before, you know, NFL Europe. And I thought NFL Europe in the 90s was successful. And let's see, got Scottish Claymore.
That was your squad.
Yes, it was.
Oh.
But I liked the Rhine.
The Rhine Fire.
Rhine Fire.
Oh, because they were a regional team.
Yes, that'd be like the New England Patriots.
Right.
They were the Rhine Fire. They had Deflategate, too, over there, I think, or something
you
like
you
that.
You couldn't stand the Frankfurt Galaxy.
I did not like the Galaxy.
No.
I did not. Paulie was all, you were Mr. NFL Europe.
It's weird. I Amsterdam Admirals, the Barcelona Dragons. It was fun because it was on in spring. There was nothing else to watch.
And you had some good players over there.
They took a lot of those college players. Like, I can remember there were some quarterbacks who couldn't get run in the pros because they were running shoot guys, and they got some run out there.
877-3DP show, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP show. Once again, we'll talk to the Monday morning quarterback, Albert Breer, his thoughts on what it's going to cost for Lamar Jackson, or what the Ravens have to pay for him after Kyler Murray's contract. Deshaun Watson, that's still amazing. Cleveland Browns gave him a deal that he couldn't refuse. Now, here's another thing I want to ask Albert Breer about. Because having been in the media for almost four decades now, you see how certain stories are positioned. And I thought it was interesting when it came out that there might be a window between two games and eight games for Deshaun Watson. Now, my source has been telling me that the NFL has been fighting for an indefinite suspension because they don't want to issue a punishment, and then all of a sudden more information comes out about Deshaun Watson. It feels like, I'm not saying who leaked this, but maybe the NFL put it out there to say, you know, might be between two and eight games, and would they fight it? I got to ask Albert Breer about this because I get the feeling the NFL might look at this and go, all right, we'll take an eight-game punishment for Deshaun Watson and we'll move on. Just getting the feeling. Here's the thing. How would it look? That's what happens. You put it out there. You want to hear what people have to say. And then you react after that. Like, what are they saying about the eight-game suspension? Oh, you know, that's enough or that's not enough. But it still comes back to Roger Goodell. The commissioner is going to be the one who is going to get the only eight games for that. But he's not handing out the punishment. That's the key. Not that anybody's going to care, but you have this independent judge, arbitrator, and if she says six games, does the commissioner fight that? Does he appeal it? Because he does have the power to be able to do that. And I get the sneaky suspicion that Deshaun Watson going to be suspended less than 10 games, and the NFL might not fight it. We'll take a break. We'll find out next. We'll talk to Albert Breer, one of our favorite guests. And phone calls are always welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. We'll hear from Charles Barkley a little bit later on the move to the LIV Tour. Is that happening? David Faraday's going there. From what I hear, Gary McCord, former CBS announcer, is contemplating a move as well. And Charles Barkley, who might be worth more than what they were going to offer to him. If you look at the coverage of Charles Barkley the last couple of days, if I'm Charles, I say to Greg Norman in the LIV Tour, how about we double that offer here? Because you know what? I'm bringing more eyes and ears than Bryson DeChambeau is, and you're paying him $100 million. He's got a point. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Play of the day coming up. We'll hear from Charles Barkley as well. Hasn't made a decision. Don't know what the offer is, but from what I was told the last two nights, that Charles is probably going to go to the LIV Tour. He's going to play in the event in a pro-am, but have some comments from Charles coming up in a little bit. Brandon in Virginia leads us off. Hi, Brandon.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Danette. First of all, happy birthday, Seton. First time caller, but listening to you guys since 2019 during the pandemic. Thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you. What can I do for you?
I'm a Nationals fan, born and raised in Virginia. But I'm also an Arizona Cardinals fan because of Edgerrin James and Larry Fitzgerald, and the state bird of Virginia is the Cardinal. So my question for you this morning is, Kyler Murray, he's a face of the Cardinals. Juan Soto is a face of the Nationals. Which of the two do you think would have absolutely earned their extension at the end of the day? And if you had to invest in one of the other long-term, who would you have picked to invest in for their careers? Thank you.
Wow. A lot of thought, a lot of things, a lot of moving parts there, Brandon. Who would I invest in? I'd invest in Soto. I think he's a unique player. I think Kyler Murray is a good player. I don't know what his ceiling is. Well, I don't know what Soto's is either, but it feels like that's a higher ceiling. And, you know, they're both around the same age. I like what I see with Soto. There's no question marks with him, but it feels like there are with Kyler Murray. Albert Breer is the Monday morning quarterback joining us on the program. Let me start there with Kyler Murray. In fact, biggest difference between Kyler Murray's contract and Deshaun Watson's contract is what?
The guarantees. I mean, I think it's what's obvious. And, you know, what's so interesting about this to me, Dan, is like that I think there were a lot of people when they looked at Deshaun Watson's contract, looked at it as a turning point for players. And I was sort of cautious about that at the time because – I can remember when this happened with Kirk Cousins in 2018, and it's a similar situation that precipitated it, right? Like you have multiple bidders and one team's trying to one-up what the next team's doing. And this is what happens, right? Like it's the same concept as Cousins being a free agent. And when I asked around about whether or not the Cousins deal was a game changer, like what agents teams, what they all said was it'll all depend on what happens next. And sure enough, Matt Ryan signed a conventional quarterback contract. Aaron Rodgers signed a conventional quarterback contract. And then we were sort of back to where we had always been. And so this is sort of a sign to me that maybe the Deshaun Watson contract is going to remain an outlier. And it really is amazing if you think about it, because like this contract adds 5 years of team control. The Cardinals get 5 extra years of team control. So they have him for the next 7 years. The Watson contract added zero. Like, you know, he got a flat raise and the whole thing guaranteed, which is still incredible to look back at. But yeah, I would say the fact that Watson's contract is fully guaranteed is obviously the difference.
Isn't it amazing? Deshaun Watson's got baggage off the field, but nobody said anything about on the field. Not one right. Criticism, it feels like.
Right. It's amazing too. I mean, you think about it, like he played really well. Did we look at him like Mahomes? I don't like before all of this, he's not like that far off, but I don't know that we've really, he had elevated to that level where Mahomes has been, where Allen seems like he is now. Like, it still felt like he had maybe a step to take to get there, you know? But I think it's really reflective of what I would call the Mahomesization of the NFL. And what I mean by that is I think a lot of these teams are now looking up that mountain and saying to themselves, is what we have good enough? Like, in other words, can you win with Joe Flacco anymore? Can you win with Russell Wilson in his second year? Can you win with Eli Manning anymore? That's the question I think teams are asking themselves. And it's why the Rams move off of Jared Goff, who was in his 20s, who'd been to a Super Bowl, who was signed long-term to go to Matthew Stafford. It's why the Niners moved off of Jimmy Garoppolo, who was in his 20s, signed long-term, and had been to a Super Bowl to go to Trey Lance. And, you know, now it's why the Browns were so desperate to get Deshaun Watson to move off of Baker Mayfield, because I think they were afraid, looking at the landscape in the AFC, that marrying themselves to Baker Mayfield long-term would make them essentially the 45-win team in the NBA.
How big a separation do you think in talent between Deshaun Watson and Kyler Murray?
I think Deshaun's a better player because I think Deshaun's more complete. And, you know, my feeling is in the NFL, you really, what separates a quarterback really is third and long, right? Like so much of success for young quarterbacks is managing the situation around him and being good with your personnel around him and keeping him out of situations where he's playing from behind or he's in third and long, right? So, like, it's much easier to play quarterback when you're in second and five than when it's second and 20. And, like, that's the one thing with Deshaun is I think we've seen him operate playing from behind, and I think we've seen him operate in long yardage situations. And can you win from the pocket in those situations? And Kyler Murray is a fantastic player, and there's a lot to like about him, and he's very difficult to prepare for. The Cardinals are very difficult to prepare for because they're so different. But I just say, like, if you're talking about having a quarterback who over the next 10 years, you may have to beat like Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen consecutively, you know what I mean, to get to a Super Bowl, like, I would probably at this point have more trust in Deshaun Watson to do that than Kyler Murray, because I think his game is a little bit more diverse than Kyler Murray's.
The contract that has a bigger impact on Lamar Jackson, is it Deshaun Watson or is it Kyler Murray?
Kyler Murray, because I think if Deshaun Watson's contract was going to have an impact on Lamar, then Kyler would have gotten something similar, if that makes sense. To me, the Kyler Murray contract gives the Ravens the opportunity to say, well, the Deshaun contract's an outlier. You know what I mean? Like, for like, if Kyler had done, say, a 5-year, $230.5 million deal, fully guaranteed, there'd be no out for the Ravens anymore, because the Lamar could just say, look, young quarterback in Cleveland got a fully guaranteed deal. Young quarterback in Arizona got a fully guaranteed deal. This is just where things are going now. This is the price of doing business. Kyler doing a more conventional quarterback contract that was more along the lines of the deal Josh Allen did last year gives the Ravens the out now to say the Deshaun Watson contract was almost completely circumstantial. So you got to work with us and do something that's a little bit more conventional. It won't change like the raw dog. Like, he's still going to get paid, and Kyler helps him because it's another guy who's, you know, over that $45 million mark, which I think Lamar's now, you have to go there if you're Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But Kyler not getting the full guarantees allows the Ravens to say, nope, that fully guaranteed deal by Watson, that was all a matter of circumstance.
He's the Monday morning quarterback. He's Albert Breer. The market for Jimmy Garoppolo is?
Not strong right now.
Wow.
I think that the shoulder, I, we can go through chapter and verse what's happened with the shoulder. Obviously, his decision to rehab and try rehab and delay things for 6 or 7 weeks back in February and March had a profound impact on all of this. And so, you know, it puts the Niners in a tough spot. It puts Jimmy in a tough spot. And, you know, I think them getting word out there, because, I mean, John Yee's had his agent has had the green light to work on financials with other teams for quite some time now. Like, he's been okay. Like, they've said, it's okay if you want to go see if there's some way you can work the contract out, because no one's going to take on the $25 million elsewhere to help facilitate a trade. We're okay with you doing that. I think getting the word out there again that you're okay to go seek a trade is to try to spark something. And I think right now they're entering a two to three week window that's going to be very, very critical. I think both sides feel this way, right? Because,
but why don't the Niners seek the trade instead of, because Jimmy's going to go, hey, I got this offer. And then the Niners will go, no. Why don't the Niners start this? So then Jimmy doesn't have to keep going back to him.
Because beggars can't be choosers right now. And like, a big part of this is going to be, if the Niners go and seek out a trade partner and they work something out, and then Jimmy's not amenable to a contract adjustment, the whole thing was a waste of time for the Niners. So it's going to take both sides, you know.
If Brady had retired, Albert,
huh?
If Brady had retired,
Tampa would have made some sense, because the Bucs have become sort of Brady, right? Like, the way that they run their offense, there's so many things specific to Brady, and who would be better to succeed Brady than somebody who lived in that sphere for 3.5 years and who understands the way that thing works, you know? So I think Jimmy would have made a lot of sense for Tampa if Brady had retired. And I think for Jimmy in general, like, the next 2 to 3 weeks are critical, because in 2 to 3 weeks, he's going to be cleared to fully practice again. And I think that both Jimmy and the Niners right now, what they're hopeful of, I don't think they think anything's going to happen in the next few days, but what they're hopeful of right now is that over the next 2 or 3 weeks, there's material change to someone's quarterback situation, whether it's they get to camp, Seattle, Atlanta, whoever it is, Houston, like, gets to camp and their quarterback situation isn't as good as they thought it'd be, or someone gets hurt. Like, the hope is Jimmy heals here and goes to the final steps of his rehab. Someone gets to camp, and over the first couple of weeks of camp, their situation changes and they have a need at the position.
Let's say Deshaun Watson's suspended today. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's 8 games.
Yep.
Then what happens from the NFL's side of things and the commissioner's side of things?
I think my guess would be they wouldn't fight it. And I know that sounds crazy, because they've been so, like, they've very forcefully gotten word out there, right? And the reason the settlement talks fell apart is because they were insistent on a year. And now they're seeking something more than that, which is an indefinite suspension, which under the CBA is banishment, right? Like, it's like almost like he's not an NFL player. So the NFL has sort of been forceful in letting their stance be known. Why would they do that? Like, if they know that that's angering the U.S. District Court Judge Sue Robbins, why would they do that? They do that because they think things might be going the other way, and maybe they don't want to fight another round on the back end. And so at least it's known out there now what they were seeking. The biggest problem that the league has now, if it does come down to be 6, 8, 10 games, is they negotiated this process 2 years ago with the union. This is the first high-profile case. And what are you saying if in the first high-profile case you're completely undermining the process that you just put in place? Especially when that process was driven by a lot of owners. Like, remember, Dan, how angry Jerry Jones was over the Zeke Elliott thing, right? Like, he was really, and the whole premise of Jerry's argument and a lot of other owners' arguments at that point was, why are we in the business? Why are we trying to be the FBI here? How about we just let law enforcement take its course? And how about we let others lead us through the process? And if we have to outsource this, maybe we should outsource some of this, but we keep stepping on rakes when it comes to these things, whether it's Josh Brown, Ray Rice, Greg Hardy, Adrian Peterson, they've messed it up so many times. The whole idea of negotiating that thing 2 years ago was take it out of our hands so nobody can point the finger at us anymore. So I think the way for the NFL to have its cake and eat it too here is to get word out there that they were looking to be really tough with Deshaun Watson here, but ultimately this is the process they put in place and they have to let that take its course.
Always great to talk to you. Have a great weekend, Albert. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Albert Breer, he's the Monday Morning Quarterback, themmqb.com, and you can keep an eye on everything that they report. Interesting what's going on with the NFL. and getting closer and closer to camp. And not that the NFL has to abide by any time frame here, but trying to do what's best for all involved, being fair to Deshaun Watson, also the Cleveland Browns, the process, the independent arbitrator, and then does the commissioner come down on that ruling and bigfoot it and say, nope, we're going to appeal it because I think he should get X number of games. But it feels like there is a number that the commissioner might decide that, all right, this is what we're going to get. This is the most we're going to get. We're not going to fight it anymore. And maybe it's 8 games. Because it feels like 2 to 8 games. Feels like. Once that came out, I went, somebody's leaking this. And then you have to look at the motivation behind leaking it. You know, you want to find out, okay, what? How do people react to this? If it's 8 games, are we okay? Maybe. But it's still going to be the commissioner. Now, the NFL can say, look, the arbitrator ruled. She ruled this way. You know, we're going to abide by the process. Now, this is a collectively bargained process that we agreed to. Okay. Still comes back to the commissioner with Deshaun Watson. We were talking about maybe NFL Europe, if you could do a league in Europe, you know, Germany, England, Scotland, Ireland, maybe some other place there. Feels like that we might be headed towards something like that. Probably not an NFL team in Europe, but, you know, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to play in Germany, and it's already sold out. Running down the list of great NFL Europe players, Kurt Warner's number one. He was with the Amsterdam Admirals. You know his teammate was, who's also going to the Hall of Fame? Paulie?
I do not.
Adam Vinatieri. Wow. Guess who played for the London Monarchs? William the Refrigerator Perry.
Oh, yeah. After he was done, right?
Also a quarterback with the Amsterdam Admirals in the Frankfurt Galaxy, Jake Delhomme. Jake Delhomme. Let's see. The Rhine Fire, James Harrison. The Berlin Thunder, David Akers. Brad Johnson played for the London Monarchs. Dante Hall, the Scottish Claymores. John Kitna played for the Barcelona Dragons. And Terry Crews, he's a TV host now with America's Got Talent. He played for the Rhine Fire. Yes, Paulie.
Kurt Warner, you know, he's a good guy. He doesn't swear. He called him the Amsterdam Admiral.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he wouldn't even use the full word.
I don't know if that's true or not.
True.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I looked it up.
Okay. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. I mentioned this earlier in the week, the time frame of Charles Barkley meeting with the LIV Tour, also his thoughts, also the possibility that Gary McCord would be joining the LIV Tour, and McCord's good buddy David Faraday has also already announced that he is joining the LIV Tour. Andrew Marchand has been at the head of this story more than anybody else. New York Post sports media columnist, co-host of Marchand and Oran, the sports media podcast. You spoke with Charles. What was your feeling that what he was going to do with the LIV Tour?
He said he'd love to do both Turner and LIV. That was kind of ideal for him. Obviously, it depends on how much money they're going to offer him. I reported and Charles confirmed that he makes $10 million a year from Turner. Then you add his endorsements, which I don't know that number, but you got to think 3 to 5 maybe. So LIV's going to have to come with a big number. That said, I think Turner knew that the market has changed with the Tom Brady $375 million deals. Troy Aikman, Tony Romo making 18. You got the greatest studio analyst of all time, iconic show Inside the NBA at $10 million. Again, it's a lot of money, but they kind of knew that I think a new deal was coming anyway.
I got to figure to get Charles' attention, maybe $25 million. And if you look at what he means, I mean, look at the publicity he's generated. Far more than Dustin Johnson or Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, Charles could renegotiate right now in the past couple of days to say, look at all the attention that I'm bringing you. I guess the curiosity of this is, will TNT allow him to do this?
So he's Charles Barkley, right? This is different than if it's me, right? He's so important to Inside the NBA. They do have a good relationship. And I think ultimately, if he says, look, I want to do LIV, I don't think they're going to say, they're not just going to let him go, right? They're going to either offer more money and give him a huge say, hey, look, we'll match the money or come close to it, and you just have to do your regular job and you get a huge raise and it works out for you. Or they say, you know what, we'll let you do these events, but we want you on Inside the NBA. Maybe you change the schedule a little bit, but not that much. I think it's possible. I don't really see a scenario where Barkley's not on Turner. I'd be really surprised if that's the final where we end up here.
I wondered that he did the interview with you. He did an interview with the PGA Tour podcast, almost kind of sending up that trial balloon to say, let me kind of guess which way the winds are blowing here. Did you get any sense of that, that he sort of wanted to get feedback before he makes the decision?
Yeah, he's very smart and he's his own man. So I don't know, like, there could be a method to, you know, the whole thing of what he's doing. If you were trying to kind of get some more leverage with Turner, this would be a good way to approach it. But I do think he's interested in it. I mean, he's going to play in the Pro-Am next week at Trump's Bedminster Golf Club in New Jersey before their next event, which is going to be a scene for sure. And that kind of made sense to me. Again, I don't know if he thought this out, but, you know, that's going to be because of Trump, because it's near New York and 9/11. There's going to be a lot of attention on that. And I don't think the attention really is going to be on Barkley that much, you know, a little bit, mm-hmm. but it'll be more on the golfers, more on Trump, more on the event. And kind of, he's already kind of, then he'll put his foot, you know, that, you know, okay, I've played with their, with this group. And then if he were to go, I think it kind of lessens it. And I will say this, is the other thing that I think is very, like, everyone in media should follow Charles, because, like, I asked him every question. I don't think, you know, I think I asked him every question and he just answered them all, right? He even brought up, you know, because his big thing that everyone takes blood money. And he even brought up Nike, which endorses him. Like, no one else would do that, right? Only Charles Barkley. But I do think it helps him just to answer the questions, because he's already answered his questions and what he thinks. And you can disagree with him, you can agree with him, whichever, but he's explained himself. And I feel like the golfers, especially, just have done, you know, they're not Charles Barkley, but they just had no answers and they knew the questions were coming. You think you'd have a little bit more of some answers.
How do you get your money out of Barkley if you're the LIV Tour?
I think they already have. Like, I think, okay. I quite honestly, you know, a part of it, like, you know, when you read the article I wrote and you hear his reasoning, like, you, again, you might not like it, but at least it's coherent and makes sense of what he's saying. He's pointing that other people are in business with the Saudi-backed, you know, the same group that's backing Greg Norman and LIV. And so that's one way. I also think he adds credibility. And in his dinner with Greg Norman, Norman told Barkley, this is according to Barkley, that he thinks they're going to get a TV deal. You bring in Charles Barkley, it helps you get a TV deal. Again, best studio analyst, sports analyst of all time. That helps you have credibility. You have Faraday already in. You already brought in Arlo White. You have a credible broadcast. It's not a bunch of, like, no names doing this. This is a good broadcast they could potentially have. Now, you know, if you're a huge golf guy, do you want to hear from Charles Barkley? Maybe, maybe not, but he is fun and he's a very entertaining guy.
Yeah, I like him when it's gimmicky golf. When it's the match and it's Rodgers and Brady and he can lighten them up a little bit, some comic relief. The LIV Tour, okay. I mean, I would have him play in every event. You know, that, like, if you're going to have fun with him and have him mic'd up on the course and have him interact with players, something like that. As far as the TV partner or media partner, who are you hearing might carry the LIV Tour?
And Dan, I just want to piggyback on what you just said. He did say that with his talks with Norman, it was more of a smorgasbord of things. It doesn't seem like he's going to do straight analysis. So it does sound as if, like, what you're the kind of how you said to use them, might be where they're thinking. In terms of a TV deal, now I think they've met with everybody, you know, just to sort of, you know, kind of have an initial meeting. You know, people take meetings, but I don't think anything's there yet. You know, a lot of people have pointed to people who have relationships with the PGA, maybe they wouldn't be interested. So you look, you know, Turner internationally with the merger, they do have a relationship with the PGA, but, you know, Turner, that makes some sense. Maybe Fox, you know, I don't think Greg Norman and Fox really ended on great terms, but when you think about distribution, right, this isn't going to be a big money deal, right? We're not talking, you know, the NFL type $1 billion deals. This is going to be, you're not going to have to pay that much. And the more top golfers that go, this is becoming a legitimate business. And it's not, the focus that we're on now is probably going to fade, because just the questions will stop being because there's not going to be more answers. There's not, and the questions will kind of stop eventually, at least to a degree. And I think getting Barkley, let's say they bring in Barkley and his sponsors don't drop him, I do think that kind of changes the game a little bit.
Well, I think Subway's trying to branch out into Saudi Arabia, so I don't think that they're going to be dropping him. And he could do commercials there. Capital One, I don't know if they're going to kick him to the curb. We're talking to Andrew Marchand, the New York Post sports media columnist. David Faraday felt like he had been marginalized a little bit by NBC and Golf Channel. Used to be very, very popular there at age, 62, 63. Probably thought, you know what, grab a paycheck, have some fun, right off into the sunset. What was the reaction from NBC when Faraday decided that he wanted to leave?
Yeah, they let him out pretty... seems easily. Like you said, they canceled his Golf Channel show. He wasn't as vital on their broadcasts. He came over from CBS, maybe 7-8 years ago, where, you know, he kind of was at his peak. I don't think he was really happy with them. And then, like you said, I don't know the exact numbers for what Faraday got, but it definitely was a substantial raise, yeah. The amount and less work, you know, so it's, when you, again, there's a political aspect to this and a civil liberty and, you know, the killing of a journalist. There's a lot of really serious things. So I don't want to make any light of those. But when you just look at it in terms of what his day-to-day life is, it's more money and less work, and probably will be more of a focus in terms of, you know, how the broadcasts are presented.
It's a great concept. More money, less work. You know, a lot of people, I think everybody is looking at that. I'd sign up for that. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't go to the live tour. The NFL broadcasting look, how will it look differently this season?
It's going to be massively different. I mean, let's start with Monday Night Football. You'll see Joe Buck and Troy Aikman there. That was a huge move and another big money move. Aikman signed a 5-year, $90 million contract. Buck signed a 5-year, $75 million deal. So they leave Fox, they go to ESPN for Monday Night Football. Monday Night finally kind of stabilizes that booth after a long time of kind of going with different folks. At Fox, they're replaced by Kevin Burkhardt, who's one of the more likable guys in the business, who moves up from the 2 slot to 1. And then Greg Olson will be his partner. And then Tom Brady's in the on-deck circle, waiting to be the number 1 when he finally stops playing. You go to NBC, they let Al Michaels go. They wanted to go with Mike Tirico. So Mike Tirico is now your play-by-player on Sunday Night Football with Chris Collinsworth. They also have a new sideline reporter, Melissa Stark, in for Michelle Tafoya. And then Al went to Amazon, which is going to be probably the biggest story. You talk about all these things. I think Amazon, this is an historic thing for sports media and how you watch games. Amazon's going to have exclusive rights to Thursdays, and it's going to be Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit in that main booth.
This is a serious question.
Okay.
Who has more money, Amazon or the Live Tour and their backers?
I mean, that's a good question. I would say the Live Tour seems to have more money to spend. Like Amazon still, they kind of have a business going. And so, you know, they've been on some deals, like Champions League is coming up and I think they're going to go heavy for it. But Amazon and Apple can just spend whatever they want. It's not really going to impact them, but they treat, I mean, as they should and why they're so successful. I mean, they treat it as businesses. The Live Tour at this point, I've had people, you know, in the golf TV world, not really feel like this. They really have a business plan here. So I would say they have more money to quote burn.
Did Chris Collinsworth get a bump in his pay that's up there with Tony Romo and Troy Aikman?
Chris Collinsworth, yeah, I reported that before. So NBC did a good job kind of locking him up. So Chris Collinsworth's going to have to make do at a mere $12.5 million a year, working, you know, 5-6 months on that. Wow. So he's not getting the $18 million, but he boxed out Drew Brees and got a new deal for 12 and a half. And he's also, I think, doing very well with that PFF. I think that's doing well. I think that's going to be a moneymaker for him.
How did NBC miss on Drew Brees that he was Was he brought in to be the heir apparent for Chris Collinsworth on Sunday Night Football?
I mean, they'll claim no, but obviously yes, right? Like, if he nailed it, he was great in studio and then was awesome on Notre Dame games. Now, I would say this. I don't think Drew Brees is as bad as everyone made him out to be, right? Like, I don't think he had a bad playoff game. It was a tough spot. He hadn't done NFL games. It did move a little quick, and he sort of – it was very strange down the end. It was just Tirico talking. It was just an odd, bad broadcast. That said – plenty of people have had bad broadcasts and have good careers. So I'm not as low on Drew Brees. I also wasn't as high on him coming out. He just doesn't seem to have that personality that you want. I think he could be like an Aikman type, who has a little more personality, but kind of gives you that, you know, real quarterback X and O's kind of thing. I don't know. I think Brees, he's not going to end up at Fox. I think if he wanted to stay in this, the move was to go to Fox and be the number two and reestablish yourself. Maybe does a little, you know, a game or three with Amazon and some kind of, you know, quarterback thing. But I don't know. The ship, it might have sailed a little bit, because if there's a number one job, Drew Brees is not getting that. So unless he's willing to take a two, I don't think we're going to see him in the booth.
Good to talk to you again, Andrew. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Andrew Marchand, New York Post sports media columnist. How about career salary? Could I do career salary, Amazon versus the backers of the Live Tour?
I'm going to need a second. Let it play out.
All right. Career salary. I thought the Saudis had $600 billion.
Checking.
Rough estimate of $600 billion.
Okay, I have Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon,
yeah,
at $148 billion net worth. $148 billion.
That's nothing.
Seton's going to help me with this one. Yeah. That's...
Okay, where's Elon Musk in all of this?
He's not involved in this one as of right now.
Well, I'm just saying, I was curious where he is to Jeff Bezos, because he kind of just blew right by Jeff
Bezos.
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, torched him.
Yeah.
Torched him.
You better start lifting to keep up with Bezos. Did you see him shirtless?
Oh, I know.
Elon's got to get a little sun.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I saw him on that yacht, and I'm thinking, whew, I got some, like, I'd put mayonnaise on, but it looked like he had mayonnaise on him. The SPF, he's like, you sure he's not Irish? Yes, Todd.
I'm looking at a number of $235.8 billion for Musk.
Okay.
Okay, so $148 billion for Jeff Bezos and Amazon. I have the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia net worth of $1.4
trillion. Okay.
And so $1.4 trillion,
that's over.
Let me do my math here.
Yeah.
I think that would be more than 10 times what Jeff Bezos is worth.
But now the public investment fund, which is what's actually funding Live Golf,
okay,
right, is about 600 and something billion. That's just the money that they're spending.
So the four times Jeff Bezos' net worth.
Correct. Correct.
Why didn't they just buy the PGA Tour? Right? Just buy the tour. If it's sports washing, just do that.
You thought Charles was fun at the casino before. Wait till he signs this deal. Man. Charles is going to be like, going over there, they got casinos all over.
How long does that money last? That's what I want to know.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.